everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome to the show today. Thanks for joining me. I have a great show and a wonderful guest who I'm very interested in talking to. Figs O'Sullivan is a licensed marriage and family therapist who works with couples in the Silicon Valley. He helps couples learn why they act the way they do in love and conflict and how to get out of conflict by being vulnerable and open with each other. Now, I've never met Figs in person, but I was introduced to him by colleagues who said the two of us would definitely get along, and they were so right. As soon as we began chatting online, I realized that we were compatible. I also love and enjoy his counseling approach because he says that he wants to interact with clients as a fellow traveler on life's journey. I love that phrase, allowing them to easily dive deeper into their stuff with his down-to-earth philosophy. He also just developed and launched a great online program called Empathy to help you feel more connected in your relationship, which we're definitely going to talk about today. But welcome to the program, Figs. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Terry. That was really a lovely introduction. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. You know, and I just knew it, Figs, when we started chatting online back and forth, that we were compatible and that you would be a great guest on the show.
Well, I am so honored that you would, you know, consider having me on to talk to your listeners. And likewise, I really love your work and, you know, having listened to some of your shows, I just really appreciate what you're doing in the world and how you're helping people.
Thanks, Figs. Back at you. Now, you sound like you have an accent, and so I want listeners to know where you grew up and what inspired you to be a therapist.
Right. Yeah, so I'm from Ireland, Dublin.
I even
said it with an American accent to make sure people understood.
Oh, let me hear that again. Let me hear that again with an American accent.
Ireland.
Right. Oh, very
I have to
good.
Say it, like really pronounce it out. But yeah, no, but I've been here for 23 years. So, you know, it's kind of, I'm kind of a halfy at this point, half Irish, half American, you know,
right.
The way it is. But so what inspired me to become a therapist, I mean, again, cliched Irish tale, alcoholic father, brokenhearted mother. And as much as that was a, what would you call it? A burden, an emotional betrayal through my childhood, it also has become the gift that led to my dad becoming a therapist, my sister becoming a therapist, me becoming a therapist, and my mother becoming a social worker. So it's kind of this irony in a way that, you know, like all good hero's journeys, those kind of difficult formative years has led to everyone in my family actually finding their vocation.
I love that, Figs. Yeah. By the way, I should tell you that I grew up in a very therapy-oriented household, too. My father's a psychiatrist, mother, sister, a therapist. So we have that in common as well.
Well, no wonder we hit it off.
Yeah. What kinds of clients do you see, Figs?
Yeah, well, I always like, here's what I like to say. I see normal people, normies, like, just everyday people like myself that have your garden variety neuroses, you know, as in like when I use the word neuroses, I mean, like every single one of us can get stuck in our heads and get all anxious about things. And then in particular, I work with couples to help them love each other, snuggle each other up.
Right. I like that, snuggle each other up. So what do you say then to people or to listeners who don't believe in couples therapy or don't believe or think that seeking help from a therapist like you is the best way to solve or resolve a relationship issue that's normal, as you said?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I want to be really clear. Like the first thing that comes to mind is good luck with that. And don't, I don't mean to be harsh, right? But like, you know, hey, if it's not broken, then, you know, knock yourself out. Go for it on your own. But I'm just not, I think all of us need a little help and a little guidance at times. And being able to reach out, being able to get a neutral third party that will help you see your relationship in a new light and help you see that you make sense, your partner makes sense, and actually both of you make sense when you get stuck is incredibly helpful.
I agree. And, you know, we all get stuck, right? We all get in that rut where we're doing the same pattern and it might not be a healthy pattern. So as you said, why not have someone else, a third party, if we're talking about couples counseling, that can help us get out of the mud? It's like, you know, the train tracks, you know, I just want to go a different way and maybe that will help me.
Absolutely. Yeah. So basically, you know, the first thing as well, I think that people have a conception of couples counseling that the therapist is going to tell, like, adjudicate which person is wrong and tell them how they have to change. When in actuality, what I do and people like me do is help people realize how it's a systemic issue. It's a both people issue. And ironically, if we can do that, we can help the couple get on the same team to fight that common enemy. And neither person has to be the bad guy. So I just think a lot of people's notion of what couples counseling is kind of a little off. And right. And rightly, if you think that someone, you're going to sit down and someone is going to adjudicate, you like, you know, and appoint blame in your relationship, I wouldn't go to couples counseling either. And if you don't, like, the last thing I would just say is, like, you know, one of this kind of, you know, unfortunate truth that actually people are right. Bad, no couples therapy is better than bad couples therapy. So, right. So if right. you are going to go, like, for sure, you are at risk if you go see someone that's going to try and appoint blame to you or your partner, because it'll actually make things worse.
Right. Because relationship issues are about two people, and it's the two people coming together that make the pattern that may be dysfunctional or maybe unhealthy. Now, let me ask you, Figs, when people meet me, they always say, "Why? Wow, Dr. Terry, you're the love doctor. You must have a perfect relationship, right?"
Yeah.
Now, of course, I always answer with, and my students ask me this as well. I always say, I don't have a perfect marriage. I don't have a perfect relationship. But studying relationships, working with couples, allows me sometimes to incorporate a lot of what I learn into my own marriage, my own family, my own marriage. And in fact, I often come home with some new finding or strategy that I can't wait to tell my husband. And I mean, he may hide when I come in the door, but he then listens and understands maybe something that I have found that might help us, because we all need some strategies. So I know you're married too. How do you think being a therapist, a relationship expert, has affected your marriage? And do you have a perfect marriage? I'll ask you that first.
Well, absolutely not. I do not have. Well, I mean, you know, I have a perfectly imperfect marriage, right?
Okay. The job I like that.
Like, the job of relationship is, can you do your, for me in my relationship, and obviously this is what I try and encourage, like, my clients to do, is can you do your own personal work so that you can be with a good enough imperfect other? And can I recognize I'm an imperfect person, my wife's an imperfect person, and together we create this perfectly imperfect, like, bond and marriage. Mm-hmm. But look, I should disclose that my wife's a couples therapist too, and we're very lucky that we have the exact same approach to love.
What is that like, Figs? First of all, do you work together? And what is that like, two therapists married to one another?
Well, look, I think it is brilliant because, you know, I'm very driven. You know, as you mentioned, I have this empathy.com thing. I have my own podcast. I have, you know, online courses. Mm-hmm. Workshops. I do all this stuff, and how could I work that hard if, you know, without getting in trouble in my marriage, if my wife was as passionate about the subject matter of what the work is? So on the that typical thing, you know, of like in a heterosexual relationship where the man is working outside the home and the, you know, very stereotypical gender normative story. But, you know, the woman is like, mm-hmm. like sitting there saying, like, why aren't you prioritizing me? Well, I'm very lucky that I can include my wife on everything that I'm passionate about.
That's so nice.
So that's brilliant. I'm very, very lucky.
I should probably, by the way, Figs, ask you the other question then. You and your wife ever talk about other things then? So that if you're both passionate about relationships and, you know, couples counseling and helping people, do you talk about other things then?
Yeah. I mean, well, we're very playful. We're not very serious people. I mean, I think that's the, you know, what you were saying about being a down-to-earth psychotherapist. I mean, the key is not, look, just not, I don't take myself very seriously. And to your point is like, what is the, you know, like, what do I do in my relationship, let's say, as an expert that makes it work? Well, the first thing is I'm not an expert in my relationship. Like, if I was to become Mr. Relationship Expert with my wife, I probably, you know, will have my bags packed by my wife, like, within about an hour. So it's, you know, competency, this is one of my little sayings, right? Competency is the enemy of intimacy. So the sooner I can be in my vulnerable, incompetent self, even if I'm Mr. Know-it-all pants some of the time, like, the sooner I can connect and be intimate with my wife. And then, of course, look, we have a 3-year-old daughter. We've another baby literally 2 weeks from today is our due date.
Wow. Congratulations.
So believe me, we spend most of our time chatting about potty training and lunch, school lunches and the latest episode of American Gods.
Typical of all couples, right? Even exactly. Though you both are couples therapists and you're both relationship experts. But I love what you said. And so let me understand if I have it correct then, Figs, that if you were an expert in your own relationship, that would not be a good thing, because then you'd be mind reading, you'd be assuming what, you know, she is going to say or do. So, but when you are vulnerable and open with each other that you are imperfect, that's exactly what you're saying is a good thing then.
Absolutely. Yeah. The part of me that thinks he knows stuff has to take a walk around the block. Like, because that part of me is only going to get me in trouble with my wife.
So, like, you know, but how can listeners then be vulnerable and open with each other? How can they do that?
Well, the first thing is you'd have to accept that you don't know everything, mm-hmm. right? And when you're listening to your partner, your spouse, it would benefit you to try and come from a place of not knowing and listen with curiosity. And then also, hopefully, anytime you would notice that anytime you're in reactivity, meaning you're angry, you're blaming, you're shutting down, the only reason it's really happening is because you're hurting and feeling vulnerable inside. So your ability to reverse engineer your own reactivity, your own judgments, your own like behavior that your partner finds irritating to the fact that you're actually hurting inside because they mean so much to each other is pivotal, and then be able to share it with them.
Okay. So let's have a practical example. Let's say I am upset that my partner loads the dishwasher in a certain way, and I can find myself getting really upset and angry. Is that trying to understand who I am in love and being real and then sharing that with my partner?
Well, so here's the first. So one of the things is the problem is not the problem. The way you talk about the problem is the problem. So the problem is nothing to do with washing dishes, right?
Okay.
The dishwasher is just the latest piece of content that's come up in your life that triggers your deeper, more vulnerable feeling. So underneath, if let's say I'm the person, like you just said, like putting dishes in the dishwasher, and I notice my partner has put something in the wrong way and I get upset. Well, look, and on the surface, it looks like it's because they just did something bad. But what is it that I'm not getting that's so important? Okay, let's say I didn't feel heard or considered because I've asked them this before. And when I don't feel heard and considered, I know I get annoyed because I just got annoyed. But what is it? What's it really to me to feel heard and considered? oh, that's a big deal. And what does it feel like deep down inside when I'm not heard and considered? Ouch, it's really sad for me. Okay, right. Now I get it. So at first it looked like I was just annoyed at you because you don't know how to load a dishwasher, when actually what happened is there's a real sensitive spot deep inside me because I long to feel considered. And when I don't feel considered, I get really sad. And then you could share that. Now, let me just one clarifying point. Look, the Dalai Lama himself couldn't do what I just said in a moment where someone puts something in the dishwasher wrong, right?
Right.
This is always a retroactive thing. This is going to be 30 minutes later, an hour later, you come to your partner and you say, like, here, by the way, you know, I've been really annoyed and irritated with you for the last hour because you didn't put stuff in the dishwasher right. Well, the reason I was doing that is because it touched that place inside me again where I didn't feel considered. And that's a really sad place for me. Right. Mm-hmm. We're always going to have to do it like after the fact.
After the fact. And we might not even be perfect the first time we talk about it because we're just figuring it out or trying to understand it. So we might have to do it a few times. We might have to go back to our partner and talk about it again. So that's what you mean by understanding who you are in love. Is that right?
That's what I mean. Exactly. All of your behaviors make sense when you're willing to take a look at that underneath everything. You are primarily, essentially a vulnerable human being that hurts and has the capacity biologically to feel abandoned and rejected.
I got it.
And that is the reason you do all of the silly things you do. And that's the reason your partner, your spouse does all the silly things they do.
And we all do those silly things. I think people, listeners need to understand that we all do those kinds of things. Now, I know, Figs, that you have some exciting news that I mentioned at the beginning of the show about a great new online program to help listeners feel more connected and understand who they are in their relationship or in love. And it's called Empathy. Tell us how it works briefly.
Okay, so firstly, you know, because I couldn't afford empathy spelled correctly with a Y on the end, you know, like .com, it's empathy with an I on the end, empathi.com. And of course, it's San Francisco, so you have to like spell it differently or weird, you know, but just to fit in. But so here's how it works. To the very first question you asked me about, like, what do you say to people that don't want to come to couples counseling? Like, I don't need to go talk to some funny accented Irish bloke, right? And I'd say, fair enough. You don't have to get started by coming into my office and paying an ungodly sum of money to sit with me. You could go to empathy.com. You could answer a bunch of questions about yourself and the privacy of your own home. You could invite your partner. They'll answer a bunch of questions about themselves. You could learn about who you are in love that we will reflect back to given the answers to the question. And then we'll show you who you guys are as one system together. We give you what's called our relationship system report, and it will tell you what you have to work on together for the rest of your life to have the relationship you and your loved one deserve. And then every day we send you daily what we call 10 seconds to love better emails that are personalized to you, because you answered the quiz, that keep you in this frame of remembering, kind of like what I said, that if you're being judgy or you're blaming or you're shutting down, you're only doing it because your partner and your relationship means so much to you.
Now, I've done it, Fig, so I can attest to it. I participated. I did the quiz myself, and I liked the feedback. But I know that listeners are probably thinking, wait a minute. I mean, this is an online program. I'm an individual. Yep. How do you account for all of the differences that I, Terry, or listener, bring to a relationship? How can that program be right for me?
Well, look, the listener out there, look, you're very, very special, right? You're very unique. And you're also a human being, and you have particular ways of behaving and responding to the world and feeling inside that are universal, right? So let me say both things are true. You're completely unique. Your situation is unique. And we have this like hardware, this, you know, biological organism that does kind of dictate there's a pattern to how you're going to feel and think and react to the world. So empathy.com. Yeah. So an empathy.com is a map. And of course the map is not to scale. It's not a one-to-one, just like if I gave you a map to get from your house to the coffee shop, but it was actually to scale. It was this like, you know, mile long piece of paper. It would be useless. It would be incredibly accurate, but like it'd be no good to you, right? Whereas, so empathy.com, of course, there are nuances of you that will be missing in the process, but you can get to see yourself on this human map of who you are in love from the latest science and like clinical methods that tell us what love is and how you and other people respond in moments of difficulty.
I agree, Figs. And you know what I say to people all the time who ask me questions or who come and see me as a therapist is exactly what you said, that we are all unique, we are all special, but there are common kinds of issues. There are common kinds of common types of patterns of behaviors that we then have solutions and strategies to overcome. Good Absolutely. Answer. Now, as you know, Figs, I've been studying couples together, what breaks them apart, what keeps them together and happy for the past 30 years. And I always ask my guests what they think is the number one important factor that keeps couples together and happy. So what would you answer briefly, Figs? What is the number one factor that you think keeps couples' relationships together and happy over time?
Well, that is a great question. I love that. So here's the way, you know, I look at it is that you are a safe harbor for the most vulnerable parts of your partner. And your partner is a safe harbor for your most vulnerable part. What I mean by that is, yes, you, if you're listening to this show, are probably a grown up, but when it comes to love, there's still a little baby deep inside of you that can hurt. And just like when your little baby is hurting, they need to be able to reach out to their primary caregiver, mother for most of us, and know that the mom will be there for them. When you guys are hurting in relationship, can you be that safe harbor so that you can reach out to each other and then actually receive the comfort that you need and long for?
So would you call that support, call that comfort? Can we call that support, that you need to give support and comfort to your partner in times of trouble and to celebrate the good as well? Can I paraphrase it that way?
Well, absolutely. The other thing I think is really important that can be overlooked in what I was saying is you got to be able to reach out too. Because here's the thing, when people are really hurting, when the most vulnerable part of them are hurting inside, most people tend to react to protect themselves, right? They blame or they complain or they shut down or pull away. And actually, it's not only that you can be a safe harbor for your partner, but when you are hurting, you can reach out and ask for the help and support that you need.
Love it. So asking for support and giving support is what you say is the number one factor that keeps couples together and happy. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Figs. We are totally out of time. I loved talking to you.
Yeah, me too. That was so nice. Thank you.
And the time flew by.
It did.
I know. And listeners, by the way, the best way to connect with Figs O'Sullivan is through his website at therapywithfigs.com. And you can listen to his podcasts on his website as well. Or go to empathy.com to sign up to take the empathy quiz that we talked about today and discover who you are in love. Again, that's empathywithani.com. As always, thanks for listening and joining me today. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor Is In program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help your relationships be the best they can be. My website is Dr. Terry, theLoveDoctor.com, where you can sign up for my free monthly newsletter so that I can provide you with simple, practical, science-based relationship advice. And until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.